Some of you might be familiar with a devotional that we sell here at St. Peter's called The Word Among Us. It has the scripture readings for every Mass and wonderful meditations that are based on the readings. And when I was reading the meditation for Corpus Christi, it had in it this wonderful story with which I want to begin my homily this evening. It's about a priest by the name of Father Walter Chizek. And every day, while he was in a Siberian labor camp, he would seek to offer the Mass. In a book that he wrote called He Leadeth Me, he wrote this sentence: I would go to any length, suffer any inconvenience, run any risk to make the bread of life available to the men. The men worked long hours in frigid temperatures. But right around noon, Father Chizek would try to find an opportunity. It might be in a storage room where they're huddled together, or in a building foundation where, as he then goes on to write, distractions caused by the fear of discovery took nothing away from the effect that the tiny bit of the precious host and the drop of blood produced in the soul. The prisoners, he said, were just as dependent upon the body and blood of Christ to keep them alive spiritually as they were on the meager food that they received from their captors. The Eucharist, he concluded, had become their true food and their true drink. St. Augustine, in one of the most famous sentences in all of Christian literature, wrote at the beginning of his Confessions, O God, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And Jesus, in today's gospel, put it this way: Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, the very thing that Father Chizek discovered in a Siberian labor camp. That the true food, the true drink, is indeed Corpus Christi. The French philosopher and scientist Blaise Pascal, who lived in the 18th century, put it this way, and this is a bit of a lengthy quote, and I'll try to unpack it as we go along. But he wrote these words: What else does this craving and this helplessness proclaim? But there was once in man a true happiness, of which all that now remains is the empty print and trace. This he tries in vain to fill with everything around him. Seeking in things that are not there the help he cannot find in those that are, though none can help. And it's this next bit that is the key. Pascal writes, Since the infinite abyss can be filled only by the infinite and immutable object. In other words, God himself. In other words, what Pascal is saying is in each one of us, there is an infinite abyss. And nothing in this world can satisfy it. The only one who can is Jesus, whom Pascal said is the immutable object, God himself. Back in John 6, today's gospel, Jesus put it this way: I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And indeed, on this day, Corpus Christi, the church invites us to remember in a fundamental way what Peter, later on in John 6, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Men as brilliant as St. Augustine understood this, men as intuitive and brilliant as Blaise Pascal, and a priest in a Siberian labor camp. And how about for you? What has this Eucharistic fast meant for you over these last 3.5 months? Perhaps today is your first opportunity to return to Mass. And I hope for all of us, it will bring us into a deeper appreciation of what it is and who is here. One of the things that's been so meaningful for me over these last 3.5 months is I've been celebrating Mass either privately at home or here, but with no one present except for the team doing the live stream. And what I've discovered over these last 3.5 months is a deepening love for Jesus in the Eucharist. But I'm aware that I can, and I think you can as well, that we can approach the Mass with a kind of indifference, a distractibility, and even a kind of sloth and apathy. And I think it's due to the following reason. We intuitively know that when we're hungry, we need food, that when we're thirsty, we need drink. But we do not intuitively know that when our soul is longing, that the one that we need is Jesus Christ. That's because we live in a world that will try to deceive us. We live in a world that will try to present to us that really what we need to satisfy these longings is what advertising in all of its various forms will give to us. In a way, we are seduced into a kind of enchantment. And much of that has to do within our culture with an enchantment of the celebrity. I mean, I was reading this article this morning about a celebrity, and I got halfway through it and said, why am I reading this? There's nothing enlightening here at all. It's all about their wealth, about what they have, about their status. But I was distracted. And one of the things that I think the celebrity kind of enchantment leads us to is a kind of wonder, a kind of fantasy. What would it be like to live their lives? What would it be like to have that kind of status, that kind of wealth, to seek the things that Pascal said are not? And so many of us do that. We seek the things that are not. That is, we try to imagine, if my life was only different, if I had a different life, then I'd be happy. Have you ever thought that? I have. But it's a lie, because the only life I have is the life I have. And it's in seeking the one who truly can satisfy me in this life that then that infinite abyss for spiritual longing can be filled. How did Jesus put it in today's gospel? The one who eats this bread shall live forever. If you have an opportunity, read today's gospel again. And maybe if you've got the missalette, have a highlighter or a pen and underline the number of times Jesus uses the verb eat. 6 times in 8 verses, he speaks about eating the Eucharist. And as we read through John chapter 6, he gets more explicit to make it clear that this food, his body and blood, is what ultimately will satisfy the soul. And so why is it that this food alone can ultimately satisfy us? And I think our reading from Deuteronomy gives us the answer. Do you know what the word manna means? It means this, huh? What is that? That's what the word manna means. What is that? And isn't that interesting? Because for 2,000 years, this is what people have thought in relation to the Eucharist. Huh? What is that? And interestingly enough, when a poll was done last year by Pew Research in the United States, and it's probably very similar in Canada, 70% of practicing Catholics said, I do not believe in transubstantiation. I do not believe that this is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. They said, huh, what is that? But the church has taught for 2,000 years that this truly is Jesus. For you see, we are limited in our human capacity to approach the Holy One. And the remarkable thing that Jesus does is that he allows for the words of a priest, when the priest says his words, to truly become present, body, blood, soul, and divinity, on every Catholic altar around the world. And in conclusion, let me just put it this way. Beloved, in a world like this, we need Jesus. Because we might not be living in a Siberian labor camp, but what Moses says in Deuteronomy, I think, rings true in our lives. And let me quote again part of the passage. In speaking of the Lord, Moses said, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from the rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do you good. We've been tested in the last 3.5 months, and will continue to be tested throughout the course of our earthly journey. But what we need to identify is this is a wilderness. There are poisonous snakes and scorpions that want to kill our soul, that want to kill the life of Christ within us. But the Feast of Corpus Christi is that gift that we celebrate today, that with a St. Augustine, we say, yes, Lord, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. That with Pascal, we say there is this infinite abyss for longing that can only be satisfied by Jesus. And with Father Chesek, we are discovering how much we need the Eucharist. One last thought. Do you know that for the Jewish people, when they entered the land of Cana, we read this in the book of Joshua in the 5th chapter, the manna stopped. They no longer needed it when they got to the promised land. We will not need the Eucharist as we have it now in heaven, because we'll be with Jesus and we will participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. But on this treacherous journey through these desert years, more than anything else in the world, you and I need Jesus in the Eucharist. And don't take that on my word, but take it on the one who is the word of life, Jesus Christ, who said, to eat him is to have eternal life.